Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout with joy for your servant David's sake. Do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them. Their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Therefore I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. I believe this psalm was written by somebody other than David. It speaks about David, but it could have been written by Solomon. It could have been written by a later family member. Because it's not about David alone, but it's about his posterity, his sons. And yet most of all, it's about him who had God as his father, whose connection to David was through his mother, Mary, our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have in this passage the remembrance of David, the Lord's remembrance. Lord, remember David. First in all his affliction. Notice it's all his afflictions, all from Saul, undeserved, despite his righteousness in his dealings with Saul, from Absalom. These afflictions were deserved because of sin. In the frailty of old age, so he died at 75. He was very frail at that point. All these afflictions I mentioned and many more, David went through them. Remember his commitment, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. He was going to build a house for the Lord eventually, but he wanted to find a place for the tabernacle of the Lord. David swore, Solomon built a temple that God would destroy due to sin. It was rebuilt and destroyed again according to Christ's word, as he says in Mark 13:2. And Jesus answered and said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so the temple was built, just as David would have it. As Solomon had built it, then it was rebuilt, a lesser building, but it was rebuilt. It was torn down by Nebuchadnezzar and later by the Romans. Christ, the son of David, builds the temple, though, which is indestructible. Matthew 16, 18b, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Whatever might come against an earthly temple, Christ builds the church, and it's indestructible. The gates of hell do not prevail against it. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 talks about the church, even Gentiles, as part of that church, part of the building, part of the temple of God. 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are the temple of God. We are the building he's building. We are the sons through the promises of God and the blessings of God of Abraham, and I believe in some sense of David through faith in Christ. We remember the son of David and his afflictions in the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. There's the remembering the afflictions of David. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. None of his afflictions, David's afflictions, some of them were for righteousness, some of them were for sin. But the Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ, none of his afflictions are for any sin which he committed. For he committed no sin, as 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was there deceit found in his mouth. His afflictions are for our sins. As it says in Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He does suffer. He is afflicted. And it's for us that he suffers. We should remember his afflictions. Our remembering, our hearing, should lead us to joyous worship. Psalm 132, 6 through 9 says, behold, we heard of it in Ephraim. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and your saints shout for joy. You know, they say, let us gather, or let us go into his tabernacle. We say, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we meet here, we meet at another part of the world, we meet there. heard in Ephrath, what did they hear? They're hearing the invitation, the call to joyous worship. Let us go into His tabernacle. Let us worship at His footstool. The prayer here seems to look back humanly, but in reality, it looks forward to Christ. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The anointed, the word anointed means Messiah or Christ. Anointed is the English word for those words in Hebrew and Greek. And Jesus is the, David was an anointed one. As a king, he was anointed. And prophets were anointed and priests were anointed. But Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king, all rolled into one. That is why he's not a anointed one, but he's God's anointed one. He is the anointed one. For your servant David's sake, I think in this verse also points to Christ. Roman numeral number 3, large. Look to the Lord's promises. Verse 11 and 12 of Psalm 132. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. Now, did David's sons all keep the covenant? Did they keep the testimony? Were kings on from David's progeny on the throne forever? Well, David's sons quickly failed. You might even say Solomon failed, but definitely after him, they all failed. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them. God's promises were not fulfilled by them, but God's promises still were fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of them were fulfilled in Christ. He did what we couldn't do. He kept the covenant that we broke, and even David's sons broke. And so he's the one through whom we say, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, starting with verse 18, but God is faithful. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us, and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Jesus fulfilled the promises. The Spirit guarantees the promises to us. What a blessing we have as we covenant with our Lord and God. It's not dependent on our performance or David's son's performance, but it's on the performance of Jesus Christ. Fourth point, see God choosing Zion as choosing His people. His people are His eternal dwelling place. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout with joy. Therefore I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare my lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Zion is not chosen Israel is not chosen, but they're not chosen because better, I mean, but better because chosen. For you are holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The Lord redeems us from the house of bondage of Satan, of sin, of the things that bind us, and he pulls us out of those things. David Dixon wrote about this verse 13 of Psalm 132, for the Lord has chosen Zion, the Lord's pitching upon any place to dwell. There comes not from the worthiness of the place or persons, but from God's good pleasure alone. God, having chosen his church, rests in his love to her. He smells the sweet savor of Christ, and this makes his seat among his people steadfast. Not anything in us, but the fact that he loved us makes him love us. The fact that Christ died for us is our salvation. We too are chosen to be holy. He says, for you are a holy people. And Ephesians 1:4, Paul writing to probably Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus writes, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in love. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've chosen us in the Beloved in Christ. And you chose us not because of things in us or that you foresaw in us. You chose us before we did any good or evil. You chose us in the eternity past, before probably there was even anything created, because you knew what you would do all the time. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray that you'd help us to understand and apply the things of this psalm to our life. Father, we think of the fact that we are the eternal dwelling of you, of Christ. We are the temple. Help us to understand that. Help us to see what David built or desired to build, what Solomon built, but more what Christ built. And help us to be, as Paul says, fellow laborers. Help us to be builders as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.